Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. This is Pastor Philip Lee, Executive Director of His Way Out Ministries. I'm so glad you could join us this morning. Approximately 23 years ago, God the Father saw fit to birth His ministry called His Way Out, a ministry dedicated to equipping and encouraging the body of Christ around the world to minister transformingly to both men and women with unwanted same-sex attraction. For these past 23 years, our home base of operation has been right here in Bakersfield, but we now have extensions of His Way Out Ministries in Jamaica, Guyana, South America, Trinidad and Tobago, and more recently in Las Vegas, Nevada. This morning, we're going to begin a two-part series, which I've titled Homosexuality, A Crisis of Truth. Of all the challenges that we face at the church in today's society, sexuality is undoubtedly one of the greatest. Yet the church has not always been quick to accept or even recognize the challenge. In fact, at various times, the church has denied, ignored, and perhaps rightfully feared it. However, if as Christ followers, being fully and unconditionally committed to the entire Word of God and valuing our call to be the light and salt of society, then we must come to terms with the rapidly changing sexual scene around us. And make no mistake, the scene is an alarming one. Webster's Dictionary defines crisis as a situation that has reached a critical phase. By that definition, I would argue that a concurrence of circumstances, including the issues raised by homosexuality, the challenges they represent, and the church's handling and mishandling at times of the matter, have combined to create, as Webster puts it, a situation that has reached a critical phase. Even if you and I do not see sexual sin as an important issue, the subject of homosexuality might seem tame next to others. Compare homosexuality to abortion, the taking of an innocent life, or to teen pregnancy with its tragic repercussions, or to the wounds inflicted by molestation, or to the glaring evil of forced prostitution. Next to these, a consensual erotic relationship between two consenting adults of the same sex might seem mild, wrong perhaps, but maybe not worth verbalizing or addressing. What accounts for the sexual shifts in our society? Today, it really does seem anything goes. There is no right or wrong. And not only this, but personal morals are equated with civil and legal rights. In the 1960s, sex makes free was a very familiar found graffiti. Sex was often viewed and hailed as a universal fix for loneliness and human emptiness. Today, sex is looked on more as a constitutionally guaranteed right, a right to fulfill one's biological drives however one sees fit, a right to dismiss, if not discard, as a spouse for greener pastures, and a right to pursue any sexual orientation one desires. Sex is viewed as something that is morally neutral, with the fulfillment of sexual needs being put on a level with fulfillment of other body needs like eating or sleeping. It's merely just another part of good nurturing for the body. I believe in this current climate, I believe the faithful Christian church is called by God to assert its biblical position that sexuality is God's good gift, that sexually chaste relationships are both possible and desirable, and that sexual passion is designed to be expressed only between a man and a woman in the context of a lifetime marriage. Let's pause here just for a moment and consider that when you and I say that we are a Christian, let's consider the depth of that statement, and more specifically, the depth of that identity. When you and I say that we are a Christian, we are literally saying that we are followers of Jesus Christ and all of His teachings. meaning you and I, as faithful followers of Christ Jesus, embrace the totality of Scripture or not at all. God has a lot to say in His Word about His divine intent for human sexuality. It does seem to me that if God the Father can talk about sex, then you and I can as well. And let's remember, according to God the Father, in terms of sexual expression, there are only two appointed options for faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Number one is a man and a woman being faithful to one another, as a marriage vow state, till death do we part, doing their utmost to live within God's well-defined holy boundary lines of matrimony. Option two really revolves around a question. The question, are you single? If the answer is yes, you are not to be sexually active, period. Ultimately, search the totality of Scripture, and you will not find one positive statement about homosexual practice in any form nor to any degree. Those who attempt to support homosexual practice from the Bible use approaches to the Bible that do not support the understandings historically held by the Christian church. Many theologians who support homosexual practice reinterpret Scripture in a variety of ways. For example, they reinterpret Romans chapter 1 as only condemning homosexual practice in the context of idol worship, but they're missing the obvious fact that the Apostle Paul is condemning, among other things, the idolizing of sex itself. They emphasize that Jesus did not speak about specifically homosexuality, but neither did he speak specifically about rape or child molestation. Yet Christians believe these practices go against biblical principles. Pro-gay apologists and pro-gay theologians often all but dismiss the importance and significance of in the beginning. If you and I were to take time this morning and open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality, we would see that God clearly had a divine intent for human sexuality from the beginning. After creating man, God creates a suitable helper for the man, a woman, and then returns the woman to the man as his perfect complement. I believe it's very, very important to note that after God was creating and setting everything up, after creating the man and then creating the woman as a man's perfect complement, note that he did not create another man, then bring that man and the woman before Adam and say, "Now you choose." Choice was never given. Scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality? According to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, through Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, we see very clearly we are created beings, created with a specific intent. Once again, our sexuality is a wonderful, wonderful gift from God the Father, providing sexual expression stays within God's holy boundary lines. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Once again, thanks so much for joining us. This morning, we're continuing our topic, Homosexuality, a Crisis of Truth. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6 tells us, God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled within the covenant of a monogamous heterosexual union. We also know, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, that we are a fallen race, and the fall has distorted every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the passage tells us clearly that homosexuality is a manifestation of fallen nature, and it violates created intent. And finally, per the authority of Scripture, we know that homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable. This is very clear according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. The prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul both warned of the days to come in which evil would be paraded as good and good as evil. The day has come. The ethical ideals of our society have become so warped that moral vice is now openly defended against virtue. Personally, I remain convinced that everything that has transpired regarding homosexuality and the many related issues, and everything that continues to unfold given this present crisis of truth, we the church must refuse to be pressured by it all. We must not allow a minority or even a majority to dictate to us, the church, what our standards will be. Our standards as faithful followers of Christ Jesus must come from a higher authority. Ultimately, the real menace to society is not those who oppose immorality, but those who promote it. Clearly, things have gone much too far. While we must not take the law into our own hands, we can, we will, we must refuse to allow immorality to become acceptable. I want to be very clear in saying that this is not gay bashing. This is commitment to a higher authority, and is also but one responsibility of holiness. That said, it is imperative the church reach out in love and compassion with a message of forgiveness and the extension of grace to those who sin sexually, be it premarital, extramarital, or homosexual activity, or the lust for such activity. Those involved in sexual sin may be our brothers and sisters, our sons and our daughters. They need the help of the church to know and follow God's plan for bringing their sexuality under the lordship of Christ. The church cannot, and the church must not, underestimate itself. It holds the only answer there is to our present state and crisis. We, the church, must realize that God intended us, His people, His church, to be the answer to the very long list of critical issues in life. It's just so ironic that for many men and women struggling with same-sex attraction, that many often enter what many refer to as a gay lifestyle to find the very things that the church should have in abundance. Therefore, I really do believe, in all fairness, we the church do owe, in many respects, on many different levels, we owe the gay community a huge apology. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. At His Way Out Ministries, we believe men and women impacted by the brokenness of same-sex attraction can be restored through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Our intent is to extend compassionate Christian ministry for such persons. His Way Out Ministry services include care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources, and biblical discipleship. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please call 661-432-7856 or visit hiswayout.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in this morning. We're going to continue a topic that I have titled, Homosexuality, a Crisis of Truth. Let's remember once again, I'd like to revisit that when you and I call ourselves a Christian, we are, or we should be qualifying and clearly stating that we are faithful followers of Christ Jesus and all of His teachings, meaning you and I as a Christian embrace the totality of Scripture or not at all. We do not have the luxury of randomly selecting portions of Scripture and possibly rejecting or discarding the rest. God the Father has a lot to say in His Word about His divine intent for human sexuality. Could it be, is it possible, the reason God the Father has been so clear and so specific in His Word regards to certain behaviors not being acceptable to Him is that He's doing His utmost to protect you and I from unseen danger. Today, I believe all faithful followers of Christ have to face this ultimate and final question. Do I accept the Bible as the Word of God, as a sole authority in all matters of faith and practice, or do I not? Do I accept Scripture as a revelation from God, or do I trust to speculation, human knowledge, human learning, human understanding, and human reasons? Or putting it still more simply, do I pin my faith to and subject all my thinking to what I read in the Bible? As a pastor, you have seen how homosexuality impacts the people you shepherd. You have met parents whose sons or daughters have just come out to them, resulting in an intense struggle with a myriad of emotions and questions. As their pastor, you want to give them counsel that is both compassionate and practical. Someone you love might be gay identified, and you're wondering how, as a Bible-believing Christian, you can keep a bond with this person without compromising your beliefs and your moral position. You yourself could be a Christian who is attracted to the same sex, having engaged in many years of struggle with feelings, emotions, and temptations you neither desired or chose, wondering what, if anything, you can do. Maybe you are a concerned Christian viewing the issue of homosexuality as a cutting-edge issue, one you face on the job, at school, or wherever you interact with the culture. You want to better understand the biblical perspective on homosexuality so you can persuasively articulate it. You want to reason with people, function as an ambassador for Christ, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone willing to discuss the Christian view on this current issue. A statement I am offered frequently from youth struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction is, "Pastor Lee, I'm so troubled and confused. There are so many mixed messages being generated about homosexuality. Where do I find truth? The only truth that I know that is absolute on the entire matter and topic of homosexuality is found clearly in God's Word." Every time, without fail, that I hear a youth offering their struggle with same-sex attraction, it grieves me because it depicts and clearly reflects the desperate crisis we face with youth today regarding their sexuality and combating, once again, the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Christian youth, in particular, often find themselves caught in the middle. Do they hold to the instructions and clarity of Scripture, the church, and parents? Or do they reject their faith convictions as outdated and accept what I would label as a new morality? To each of the groups I have mentioned, homosexuality indeed matters. And while it matters so much and to so many, I would be remiss in not also stating just how much it matters to God. I regard both the Old and New Testaments as authoritative, much like Paul the Apostle did when he affirmed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." At His Way Out Ministries, we are seeing the tragic results of veering away from the authority of God's Word. Personally, I'm afraid too much of the church has become the church the apostle foresaw when he warned of a time to come. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. "They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Clearly, what we have witnessed and what continues to unfold is a separation of those who are willing to conform their lives to the gospel Jesus proclaimed, while on the other side, there are those who have created a gospel that conforms to their lives, otherwise known as pro-gay theology. As an individual who spent 17 years in the considerable gay communities of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City, I remain greatly concerned regarding the many inaccuracies being offered and reporting, endeavoring to promote the gay is good notion and the civil rights of gay men and women. The truth about homosexual practice must be spoken, and it must be spoken in love, that is, with compassion, understanding, and also with the full and complete knowledge that truth is not always pleasant and soothing. I would submit that what matters morally, psychologically, and physically must be determined on the basis of our best understanding about what ultimately constitutes human well-being. Therefore, the facts and truth with regard to homosexual practice depends upon our facing reality honestly, compassionately, and courageously. I hope, I pray we all would put the Word of God in its proper place. The 138th Psalm says, I will praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Obviously, God thinks highly of his name, but he has magnified his word even above his name, and so should we all. Truth is, and truth matters greatly to God. Truthless grace accomplishes nothing. We are all in the same boat. We just happen to sit on different planks. Clearly, we are all unrighteous and need a Savior to cleanse us and to lead us into his right way of living and being. God remains the architect and the builder of our righteousness. He not only gives us his plan for living, but the ability to carry it out as well. Our present crisis of truth really has not been about, nor is it about today, homosexuality. The crisis we have faced, the crisis that we face today, is about the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is our Lord, he will also be Lord of our sexuality.
This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. How should we, the church, respond to homosexuality? At His Way Out Ministries, we strive to offer a balance of both truth and grace. We believe the mandate of the church is to be God's expression of both his heart and mind towards homosexual people and homosexuality itself. We share, there is a God who loves you, and you can be reconciled to him. Can we help? Absolutely. Freedom from homosexuality is possible through the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ. Find out more at HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast.
Before we close our program, I would like to revisit the importance of scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality? We know according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, through Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, that we are created beings, created with a specific intent, that our sexuality is a good gift from God the Father, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines. We know according to Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, that God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled within the covenant of a monogamous and heterosexual union. We also know according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, that we are a fallen race and the fall has distorted every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 tells us very clearly that homosexuality is a manifestation of fallen nature and it violates created intent. And finally, we know per the authority of Scripture that homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable. And that is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Once again, God's divine intent for human sexuality is clearly defined for us in His words. And I would submit once again, the reason for God's clarity is because He loves us so deeply, purely, and profoundly, and He's trying to protect each and every one of us from unseen danger. I realize that the topic of homosexuality is a vast topic, and that's why as we begin, we are going to be turning our attention to many, many different aspects regarding homosexuality, because we believe at His Way Out Ministries that the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. In your church and throughout this entire world, people are in need of God's clarity about their relationships and their sexuality. And that's why at His Way Out Ministries, we believe that through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, often mediated by extended and competent ministry prayer and a caring Christian community, the sexually broken can experience transformation and restoration towards wholeness. When you have a moment, take a visit to our website, hiswayout.com. You'll find a wealth of information. Videos, educational videos, testimonies, articles that are all there to equip you, the church, to be more effective in reaching to men and women struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. His Way Out Ministries is here for you, and I hope, I pray that you will continue to join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. as we continue to turn our attention to what many of you today is a very controversial subject, but as we look to God the Father, we know, we embrace, and we believe that He has the answer.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301, or find them on the web, HisWayOut.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.